I can think about is the Mexico trip where I woke up under a kitchen table. You know what's gonna keep me warm? That's right, those degrees.
Yeah.
So welcome to episode 2. I'm really excited for today's episode because I am joined by my ride or die, my right-hand person, Mona, aka Rocksteady, aka, I don't even know, like we've been through some shit.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
But thank you for joining me. I'm really excited for this evening. I am sipping on my, what is this? Bailey's Irish cream. What do you have?
I was having whiskey, but it's done.
Maybe that means you need to refill it. I don't know. I was drinking Bailey's and coffee, and then it just ended up just being Bailey's. And I literally have the bottle sitting here with my straw and my glass with ice, and I'm very content right now. So, hey there, Bailey's. If you wanna, you know, if you wanna sponsor me, that'd be awesome.
That's how you survive the cold Chicago days.
Man, it's 16 degrees. I'm just like, this just shouldn't be normal. It shouldn't.
Nor should an 82 degree December day. That's what we would
have. That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, so much has happened over the last month when I think of my first episode and where it is now. And I will definitely make sure to update people in January on episode 3. But just know, y'all, a lot of shit has taken place in my life. A lot. And as the new year approaches, I can't believe it's about to be 2018. I just can't fathom that right now. But it is. And it's crazy. And so
we should be flying cars by now or something like that.
Seriously, right? And so, but for me, at least, a new year often is a time of reflection and looking back, not necessarily in a bad way, but just taking a look at what this past year has been or past years has been and being intentional on how I want to enter in to 2018. And so as I was thinking about that, of course, I went into the state of nostalgia and I was like, I have to call Mona and I have to have her join me in this state of nostalgia because who better to reflect on life and years than, you know, with my partner in crime? Because shoot, how long have we known each other now? I think we met in fall 2002.
Yeah. Yeah. Fall 2002.
So that would be 15 years.
Dang, girl, almost half of our lives.
That literally is about half of my life. Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy.
That is insane. 15 years.
We've seen each other through some stuff, man.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm looking at your background in your home, your lovely new home, your blue wall, and all I can think about is the Mexico trip where I woke up under a kitchen table, not knowing where I was. And all I knew to tell the cab driver, because I didn't speak great Spanish, was that I was in a blue hotel. And somehow I made it back. Obviously, I'm safe and sound because here I am 13 years later. But that's all I can think about right now and looking at.
And you know, that is not the only story like that we've shared.
That is true. That is true.
College.
What I did want to talk about and kind of focus this episode around is, as I was thinking about nostalgia, if you will, a couple weeks ago, I was listening to Kanye West, the College Dropout album.
Kanye, can I talk to you for a minute? Me and the other faculty members was wondering, could you do a little song, something beautiful?
And I remember when that came out. When did we determine that was? I mean, I guess I can Google it.
2004.
I think it was 2004. I'll look it up. But I distinctly remember when that came out, and I distinctly remember the road trip that we went on and listened to that album.
And over and over.
And where we were then and thinking about it and where I am now. Like, I listened to portions of it that couple weeks ago and even today just to refresh myself for this episode. And I was like half laughing, half crying.
Yeah. It was like, Oh.
Completely different meaning. And so I would love to just talk a little bit about that, talk about kind of where we were then and where we are now. And, you know, given the theme of the podcast overall in terms of adulting and, you know, pushing against societal standards and all those things. And I think in a lot of ways, our lives have paralleled in ways of how we were, quote unquote, like socialized to be, what we were aiming for, and then like where we kind of find ourselves now and how we think about things now. Like, I think about how we both have multiple degrees. How many master's degrees do you have? Two?
Two, girl. Two. I'm collecting them, you know. I'll make a wallpaper.
So you got a bachelor's, two master's, and you over here thinking about a doctorate, which, great.
Yeah.
I am not. I have one bachelor's, one master's, and a couple publications. Is that count?
Hey, girl, you already beat the odds. Yeah.
That's real. But at that time, distinctly in the car, so to give folks context, it was Thanksgiving time, and we were driving from Southern California, where we were going to school, up to Northern California, which is where I'm from, visiting my family. And I was really excited about that because I often didn't make it home for the holidays. I worked a lot during school, had two or three jobs at a time. I just never was able to make it. And so this was, I don't even know how or why I was going up for Thanksgiving, but you joined me.
Your dad's rolls. That's why.
That's true. My dad can cook, y'all. My dad can cook. But yeah, and so, and just thinking about what I call the infamous road trip, that has always been like this staple point in my life. And that road trip directly correlates with the college dropout, because that's what we listened to the whole way up and probably the whole way back. I don't remember the way back. I just remember the way up.
Yeah. You know, we listened to it so much. I think we wore out one of the CDs because I remember stopping to buy another one. I think it was like Circuit City at the time when, you know, they existed.
When I worked there, when we actually were listening to CDs in the car and not streaming.
Yeah.
Might be aging ourselves a little bit, but that's okay. But no, I don't know. I guess maybe we can just talk a little bit about like where we were then, you know, as undergrads, kind of coming out of undergrads. I think you may have just graduated at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so if you think about the album, whether it's a specific song or just overall themes. I don't know, just thinking about like what it was then and then like what it is now.
So I think what stood out to me, I mean, I loved that album. And it's so funny because music is such a big part of, you know, my life. And I can, you know, hear a song and remember where I was. And I remember listening to the skit of with like little Jimmy, you know, he's like, I don't know what sexy is, but I bet I could add up, you know, all the change in your purse real fast. And I was dying because it's true. You know, you think about, you're just, you know, conditioned, as you mentioned earlier, conditioned to meet a certain standard. And that's what, you know, he hit the nail on the head, like, go to school, learn, no time for socializing, no time for this. And I thought, wow, that's sad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's true. It's true because that's how we, you know, we're conditioned to be. And then another one that stood out was the, I think, family business. You know, they're talking about like it, you know, it's when it comes down to it, it's your family.
Mm-hmm.
And not necessarily blood family, but who you call family, who you make your family.
Yeah.
And so I remember that standing out to me because I thought of you and I thought of, you know, our group and I thought of our close friendships. And I was going home with you for Thanksgiving and your family was openly welcoming me home like their own daughter. And, you know, that just stood out to me. And I was like, that's important,
mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Pause. Because I want to really hone in on welcoming you as family and why whiskey is part of the episode name. Because you were sick. You were really sick.
And, oh, yeah.
And we got there. My dad was like, oh, don't worry. I got you. And he must have given you, I don't even know how many hot toddies. All I remember is you would go to sleep. You'd wake up, he'd give you another one, you'd pass out. Like, you were asleep for a solid day.
Girl was like the whole weekend. I was knocked out. I would wake up, your fire was going, the dogs were there, football was on. It was perfect. Perfect. Your dad was just like, here, go back to sleep. Here's another one. And it was just nice. It was nice to have somebody, you know, like, take care of you like that, because that's not, you know, that's not common. Like, you and I were in the same boat, you know, having to figure it out for ourselves. And you were further away from home than I was. So, you know, when you got sick, suck it up. Suck it up. Wipe your nose and you push forward. Like, there's no crying.
That's one of the many things I can really say I can't stand being an adult, is like, when you get sick, ain't nobody to take care of you but you.
Yeah.
You may have a partner, a significant other, sure, but even then, like, you still got to do shit on your own. There's no one to, like, just kind of be like, you know, there's Postmates and Grubhub that, that might be able to bring you some medication.
But the laundry can do itself.
Right. Got to worry about sick days and do I have enough? And I'm just like, this is complicated.
Yeah. There's no, like, I'm just going to time out. No, there's no time out. The world keeps going.
Yeah.
And you either keep up or you get kicked out.
Exactly. So there is one. So in kind of listening to the album in order, and I'm not going to go through every single song because, one, who has time for that? And then two, certain ones that sit out. But one I do want to hone in on, it's in the beginning, Never Let Me Down. And I'll play a short clip so folks can be reminded. Get up, I get down. We're all here for a reason on a particular path. You don't need a curriculum to know that you are part of the math. Cats think I'm delirious, but I'm so damn serious. That's why I expose my soul to the globe, the world. I'm trying to make it better. So there's that verse that really resonated with me, especially when I think about reflecting, coming up on a new year. How do I want to enter in the new year differently than maybe how I left the previous one, or continue on the great things you may already be doing? That really, really stood out to me, particularly the piece around we're all here for a reason on a particular path. When I really think about, I've been thinking a lot about purpose and what is my purpose? You know, less about like, what am I doing, but more of like, why am I doing it? Mm-hmm. And where that has brought me to be, especially in the last couple weeks, is recognizing that I didn't feel like that's what I was doing anymore.
Yeah.
Didn't feel like I was serving my purpose in the way that I feel I'm put on this earth for, that I feel, you know, utilizes my, you know, talents and skills and all of those things. But also the piece around, you don't need a curriculum to know that you're a part of the math. It just brought me back to like the degrees piece, right? Of like, I feel like we're so trained to be like, you go from high school to college, and then you go from college to grad school, and then maybe grad school to a doctorate. And that's the path. And that's how everyone's is supposed to look. And I think in a lot of ways, that's what we were on too, right? Like, I distinctly remember that time. We were, like I said, you know, you had just graduated and were teaching. I was in the process of graduating. And then all we think about is like, so where are you going to grad school? Right? And now that I sit here with my multiple degrees, I'm sitting here like, is Target have an opening? Like,
yeah. If I work at Starbucks, I get a good discount.
Yeah, like I'm sitting here literally constantly like, man, I really have thought about being a Starbucks barista. It just sounds so much less stressful. It sounds like something I would enjoy. I love being around people. I love having conversations, you know, meeting new folks. And that is not at all like what I was thinking about 15 years ago, you know? And it's just so interesting how those thoughts transcend. And I always think about what would my life have looked like, not in a regretful way, because I think everything happens for a reason. And obviously, like, you know, I'm at a point in life where I feel grateful that I can even reflect on these things. But what could it have really looked like if we talk in ways to people, whether, you know, undergrads or you don't have to be in school to be successful either, but what would it look like to talk to people in those ways of like, what gives you purpose and what gives you meaning versus what you're going to do for the rest of your life, or here's your degree, like what you're going to do with it, you know?
Yeah, and that stood out to me today, actually, when I was listening to, like I said, the song Family Business. I remember a distinct conversation with one of my cousins, and he didn't graduate high school. You know, he dropped out of high school, and here I was in grad school, and I'm just like hounding into him about how he needs to get back in school and how he needs to get himself together because, you know, one day he's going to have a family and he has to be able to. And my cousin looked at him and he's like, you think you're so good. You think it, like, he laid into me. He let me have it. Like, it's not just about school, you know? And in my head, it's like, no, like, if you don't go to school, you're not going to be able to do A, B, and C, you know? And I realized when I listened to that song again, that conversation, and I realized, you know, he was right. He was right. Years later, I can look back, I can reflect and think, you know, he was right because he's happy with whatever he chose. And I know some people who are in their, you know, careers, professions, they got their doctorates and they're doing what they set out to do, but they're not happy, you know, and it just, you know, what you said just brought all that back to me. And then again, going back to the skit where little Jimmy's like, you know, he says a part.
Hey, Jimmy, where you going?
I don't know where I'm going. My dad died and he left me his degrees. My mom would always say, Dad, why don't you work? But he just kept learning. All the other kids' parents were working and saving up money for school. And I was actually in school all while my dad was in school.
Why? My parents don't work like normal parents. My mom asked my dad to get a job, but he just kept learning. You know, and he said he was so greedy that he even took my degree. And when he died, he left me his degrees. And I'm thinking, is that all we're going to leave our kids? Like, are our kids going to know, like, oh, yeah, my mom was really good. She was smart. She went to this school and that school. Is that the legacy we're going to leave behind? You know, and I just started thinking that stupid Jimmy's kid, not stupid, it's funny. But, you know, it just made me think, like, I don't have kids, but when I do, I want my kids to know that there's, like, more than just degrees. Like, do I want you to get degrees? Absolutely. But if you don't, are you still a valuable member of this society? Heck yeah.
Amen.
Heck yeah.
That's real. And I have to note for folks that that don't know us, we both work in education. So here we have two educators. I work in higher education. You work in K-12. Yes, we still value education. Please don't fire me.
but
as much as I value education, obviously. I work in it. That's what my degree is. And I do that for a living. But yes, I completely agree with you. Like, it's like this societal norm of, like, your degrees are your worth. And if you don't have that degree, then what are you worth? And that's just not true, right?
Not at all. I had a kid today, not today, but this week tell me, Miss, I can make more money on the streets. And I'm like, you're right. I didn't tell him that. But in my head, I'm like, maybe you're right.
Not to knock the street life, but
not at all. But, you know, as an educator, you know, you want to instill certain values in the kids. But I was like, he's right. He's right. Yep.
Okay. So the school spirit skit, that's the one that gets me. And I feel like it really just sums up everything we talked about. I'm going to play it real quick for people so they know.
Degrees, man. When everyone says, hey, you're not working, you're not making any money, you say, you look at my degrees and you look at my life. Yeah, I'm 52. So what? Hate all you want, but I'm smart. I'm so smart. And I'm in school. These guys are out here making money all these ways. And I'm spending mine to be smart. You know why? Because when I die, buddy, you know what's going to keep me warm? That's right. Those degrees.
And you get that associate's degree, then you get your bachelor's, then you get your master's, then you get your master's,
yeah.
Then you get your doctorate. And I'm just like, no, it's my life. And I literally am like, I'm laughing, but I'm really crying on the inside, y'all. I just want you to know I'm crying on the inside.
Yeah, girl, so was I. I was like, those student loans.
Listen.
I spent all that money.
Listen. Like,
yeah,
there's not a day that goes by I was like, was this worth it? Yes, y'all, I like what I do. I enjoy what I do. But seriously, I'm paying for it.
Yeah, and this is real talk. Like, come on. I know there's a lot of y'all out there who are thinking the same thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, and then, and I think that right there, at least I'll name it for myself, that right there is what makes it sometimes so hard to really own and decide or even have the thought of, am I on the right path, right? Like, I've put in all this work, all this time, all this investment financially, you know, monetarily, and it's like, what does it look like for me to, in some ways, like, chuck that to the side and say, I want to do something completely different.
Yeah.
And I talked about this in you know, my first episode, but I think it correlates really well in terms of, it's not just about those external factors saying this is what I should or shouldn't be doing, but this is me personally saying I made a personal investment in where I thought my pathway and career trajectory was going to go. And it doesn't always feel good to say, after, you know, 9, 10 plus years of doing this, I'm just not sure anymore. And then what does that mean, right? And then you have the folks saying, what do you mean you're not sure, right? Like, all that money, all that time, all that, you know, X, Y, and Z, and you want to be a Starbucks barista, right?
I love my Starbucks baristas, though. Shout out to them.
Shout out to Starbucks. If you're hiring, let me know. But, you know, but when I just think of what I really want in life right now, which is less stress, you know, more time to self, whether that's, you know, family or whatnot. And I don't know. It's just really, it's really interesting. And again, that's not to say that I don't enjoy what I do or that I don't want to continue on that path either. But I don't want to be so much on this straight and narrow path, or there aren't other options or other, you know, pathways or whatever you call them, like, you know, stimming along the way and being able to say, hey, let me get off and explore a little bit. And if I want to come back to it, great. And if I don't, that's okay too.
Yeah. And who's to say that within the past 5 years, we haven't grown in a different direction, or we haven't been exposed to certain things that have opened up our eyes to a different desire or a different path? You know, that path may have been right for that time in our lives, but as we grow, we desire other things. We don't want to be complacent and just stay still because that's how it should be. You know, one thing about us is we're constantly finding ways to improve, to learn, you know, to, and that's why it's so funny. He just kept learning, you know, and like kept going to school, because deep down, like, we're like that, you know, we like to learn, whether it's in a formal setting or not. But because we want to keep learning and keep growing, we're exposed to new opportunities. And it's okay if we decide, okay, it's time for a career change or a complete, you know, change in other ways, you know, because that's what growing is supposed to do to us, you know?
Right. Well, what I find so ironic about all of this is, when I think back to who we thought we would be, we are those people, right? It's like we've accomplished who we thought we would be. So I am who I thought I would be 15 years ago, right? And then I look in the mirror sometimes and I don't recognize myself.
Yep.
You know, I'm like, I know I thought I was supposed to be this and I am this, you know? So in those ways, like, I accomplished that. But now I'm like, but is this?
Yeah. It looked a lot different back then in my mind.
Yes, it did. Right?
Like, and not to say we're not content with where we're at, but in keeping with being real, you know, it's, and at the end of the year, it's time to reflect, you know, and think, like, are there some things I want to change up?
Yeah.
You know, are there different opportunities I want to take?
Are you a New Year's resolution person?
No, honestly, I'm not. Because, and you know this about me, I put a lot of pressure on myself to meet goals. Mm-hmm. And if I create a resolution, it's going to drive me crazy. And then I'm not going to enjoy it.
See, and this is why I do not do New Year's resolutions, y'all. So for everyone out there that, you know, we got 3 weeks, not even three. Oh my God, I think we have like 2.5 weeks left of December. And, you know, I think there is a lot of pressure around the, you know, New Year's resolution. What are you going to do different? And we create these, like, I feel like people create these check boxes, right?
Yeah.
It's often, you know, the I hate to use the word cliche, but the cliche ones are usually around, you know, body image or money or I don't know. What are some other ones? I don't know. Things that are just...
Or finding, you know, a partner, you know?
Yes.
Relationships. So I think those are like the top three, like your body image, finances, and relationships.
Yep. And then like you're saying, you set it up to where it's like, I need this, and if I don't have this, then I failed. And so you, in a lot of ways, you're already setting yourself up to fail for the upcoming year. But what I started doing a few years back is I started creating New Year's themes. And so instead of trying to create a resolution that I either kind of like pass or fail, I think about how I want to enter the year and what I want to continue doing for the duration of that time. I think for me, it creates a different sense of accountability. It creates less of a pass-fail type of thing. And so I've already come up with my New Year's theme this year, which is my life, my agency, I'm taking it back.
Yes.
So I'm really on this pathway of empowerment, self-empowerment, you know, not being so shut down in my thoughts by their societal norms or external pressures, external factors, but really honing in to my core, what I want to do, who I want to be, and how I want that to play out in my life. So it's already started this past week, which again, I will share in January for y'all, but you already know, you know, this past week has been a start to that. And I can honestly say it's not scary. It's exciting. And that's how I know for me that I've on this new path that is supposed to take place, right? This past year, my resolution was intentionality. And I think it played out really well. So being intentional with friendships, you know, relationships, my time, you know, reclaiming my time and shit like that. So when I look, you know, over the next 2.5 weeks, I'm like, okay, what is it really going to look like for me to have like my agency, my life, I'm taking it back. And so I'm excited about that.
Yeah, me too. I'm excited to see the doors that open for you.
And they're going to open, gosh dang it.
I'm going to take a crowbar to those doors if we have to.
Yeah. So I encourage everyone out there to think about like New Year's themes. I think it's healthy.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a great way to really do some self-reflection and decide who you want to be in the upcoming year, what you want to do, whether that's different or things that you're like, this is going well and I want to, you know, continue on or, you know, whatever that looks like to you. But I don't know. I always find the new year to be an exciting time. So I think it's such a gift to be able to have another year of life. And so what does it mean to really use that and not take it for granted and not waste it, to be honest?
Yeah. Yeah, it's exciting. The new year's, you know, new friendships, new opportunities, new experiences. It's kind of like a fresh start. I tend to focus more on myself, like my personal self, as far as for the new year, this year, I'm going to focus on being more kind or more patient, you know? Because that's a virtue that's difficult to practice. But, you know, I try. That's how I try to, I guess, take on a quote unquote resolution, because otherwise, girl, I'm going to lose my mind trying to check off everything on my list.
I'd like to see that play out for you. Because patience is not your virtue. I completely resonate with that. I've been working really hard lately not to allow experiences or, I don't know, you know, we keep saying degrees, but just what it really means to let things define you. And I think it can get really dangerous when we get so wrapped up in something like a job title or
the car you drive.
Materialistic shit, right? Like, I'm successful because I have this huge house and that's what defines me. And if I don't, then I'm not doing well or I'm not enough, right? And how much not enough gets wrapped up into those things. And I think it's very dangerous.
It is.
I'm actually in a process of purging my shit. I've sold more than half of my stuff. And as I tell people that, they're just like, you're getting rid of your things. Like, why would you do that? And for me, it feels so freeing to let these materials go because, one, I don't need them, right? Like, what I need, I have. What I need usually will fit in my car, including my dog.
And I've witnessed that.
Yeah, but two, even like as I'm selling stuff, sometimes I find myself being like, oh, but I really like this desk because, you know, some of it has meaning, but, you know, it's like, but it's so cute or that's, I don't know. I'm finding myself putting so much emphasis on things.
Yeah.
And be like, when those things leave my house, when someone else drives off with them, I'm like, oh no. Like, well, now what? Like, now all I have is a bed or now all I have is, you know, and I have everything I need, but I'm like, this has been a good cleansing process for me, especially going into the new year of really paying attention to what matters, and what matters are not these things. It's not my car. It's not my house. It's not, you know, the purse I carry.
Yeah.
All of that is just, for me, just doesn't hold a lot of weight.
Yeah. It doesn't define you. Doesn't make you who you are. Doesn't intimidate people. I mean, it's just shoes, cars, you know?
Yeah. But people can't grasp it. Like, people have really been freaking out on my behalf. And I'm like, y'all, it's fine. Like,
yeah.
I have my clothes. I have my animal. That's the most important thing in my life currently. Yeah. And so, you know, just thinking about, you know, what do you need to clean out your life? Not so much you personally, but like as folks, are, you know, that are listening, like thinking about the baggage that you're carrying with you into the new year. That baggage can look like a person. Right? That baggage could look like actual material things. That baggage could look like a job that maybe you don't need to have anymore. Like, what are you really carrying with you into this new year?
And why
do you need to get rid of? And why exactly? And why?
Why are you still holding on to that? Why are you still holding on to that bad relationship? Or why are you still holding on to that job makes you miserable and, you know, miserable to be around? You know, we have to really look at that. And, you know, it's like what you said earlier, you know, about your purpose and why, you know, and it's really comes down to why. Why are we holding on to certain things? Why are we so set on a certain path, you know, when things might be staring it the other way?
Yeah. Yeah. And when I tie it back to like the album, right? Because that's like the staple of the episode, whatever. But I do think about where Kanye was during this time, like with his mouth wired shut and people not fully believing in him and his capabilities. And he just dropped this amazing, I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing album, you know, that just, if you really go back and listen to it, I encourage folks to really go back and listen to it. Like, I was looking up lyrics and everything, and I was like, man, this was some real shit. But it just resonates with me in such a different way now, obviously, because, you know, later. But yeah, like, you know, what does it mean to persevere? And what does it mean to let go? You know, just really let go. And that's such a, I think, a hard concept for people to grasp, because we're not supposed to let go of things. We're supposed to hold on so tight that sometimes that is suffocating us. Like, we're being suffocated by the very thing we're holding on so tightly to, and how freeing and empowering it is when you just let go. So y'all out there listening, what do you need to be letting go of? Because everybody got to let go of something. Everybody gotta let go of a little something. So that's my challenge to all you listeners. Like, what are you letting go of in 2018? You got 2.5 weeks to figure that shit out.
No pressure, none at all.
No pressure. But I think the lastly for me is just really thinking about what it means to have people in your life for a long amount of time. I think it's important. I'm very grateful that I now have relationships that I've known folks for 15 plus whatever years. And I think it's so interesting to be able to go through different life stages with someone. You know, we alluded to all of the stuff that we have experienced together, and I'm not going to get into all of that. maybe another time, but I think it's kind of cool to be able to look at where both of us were and where we both are now, and not that we're completely different people, but what it really means to grow and mold and come into our own and be able to like witness that, but in a very authentic way. And I think that's really cool. And so I really value friendships and those types of relationships. And, you know, my hope is that everyone is able to have something like that. And I know the reality is that that's not the case.
But you should find someone like that.
You need to find your friend soulmate. I do believe soulmates can be our friends.
Yes. Yes. And I do, you know, we've known each other for a long time. And like you said, we've just gone through different stages of life. And there were times where maybe our paths were going in different directions, but not once did I feel like there was judgment at any point of our lives, of our different situations. There was always support there. Always, yeah. You know, because it goes back to our roots, where we started from, and, you know, goals that we set, and just knowing, you know, knowing personal things about each other. And it's just great. And it's been great, you know, yeah. Adulting together, or trying to.
Emphasis on trying. But I do want to emphasize that I think it's important for people to, even if you haven't had someone in your life that you've known for 15 years, but how important it is to recognize the company that you keep, yes. Right? I make some off-the-cuff decisions with my life. Every 2 years. Yeah. Every 2 years, there's some drastic change happening in my life. And there's so many people out there that judge me for it because they don't understand. And they're not meant to, right? Because it's my life. It's not theirs. But I appreciate the folks like yourself that just keep encouraging me and, you know, have never like, I don't know how to say it, downed me.
Yeah. You know, but it all comes down to breaking away from societal norms, mm-hmm. because I had to realize that just because my path or my goals are not what you have, doesn't make your goals any less important. You know, we have different goals. We have different paths. You know, we have different desires. And part of me secretly wishes that I was brave enough to do the things that you're doing, you know, but sometimes we allow fear to get in our way, or we allow ourselves to become too comfortable in the situation that we're at. So when opportunities arise where it's like pack up and go cross country to another state, sometimes we say, no, but things are great here. And so when people do go and do that, sometimes there's judgment. Like, I can't believe you're leaving this nice, cozy little area or this job, this security to go, you know, move cross country in the snow, Heather, in the snow. But, you know, I love it. I love it. You know, you do. You're a hero to many of us.
I am the epitome of living life outside of the societal box. Put it like that.
Yeah.
Well, this is now my favorite portion of the podcast, the segment, Shit I Ain't Got Time For. Let's see. What don't I have time for this month? I just don't have time to live my life inauthentically. Like, when I really think about it and how draining it is to show up not as yourself, if I show up, that can be work, that can be friendships, that can be relationships. I don't have time.
Yeah.
I'm at the point in my life, I'm like, this is me. Take it or leave it. Feel free to leave it. I ain't gonna lose no sleep over it. But like, I just don't have time to like show up to make other people comfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. Or time to sit there and listen to people's nonsense. I don't have time to hear you complain. I don't
listen.
You're not gonna do anything about it? Then shut up.
Listen, that's real. I was like, you know, I consider myself a pretty empathetic person.
Yeah.
But you got two times to talk about the same shit, yeah. And then try to come to me a third time and you ain't changing shit. No.
Like, I'll listen to you okay, I'll listen to your complaint, but what are we going to do about it? Oh, nothing? We're done. Moving on.
Exactly. But maybe that's because I'm a doer. I don't know. And like I said, I got empathy, but I'm just like, you know, it comes back to me like life is just too short to be wasting time.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, that's just bringing you down. So I am in full agreement with that.
Yeah, and I'm a problem solver, and I tend to take people's feelings and emotions upon myself. So if people have issues, I want to solve those issues for them. I want to help them. But they don't want it, I don't got time for that.
Listen, I was like, I've moved states. Like, I need you to, like, leave that person. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Shoot. Yeah. Well, I thank you for joining me on my second episode. I have so much fun being able to, you know, talk to the folks that I know and just be able to, I don't know, I just really love having this platform, and
yeah.
Hopefully people get something out of it. If you don't, thank you for having stayed with me for the last 30 plus minutes.
yeah, thank you. Thank you, guys. This is fun. Yeah. Thanks for having me. It was a... Just thinking about the road trip and your parents. I love them.
Yeah, they're so cute. They're so cute. Y'all, my dad turned 70 this year, which is crazy to me. I'm a daddy's girl, for anyone that needs to know. And love my dad to death. And I look forward to being in closer proximity sometime soon to them. But yeah, shout out to Black Don't Crack, and shout out to Good Health.
Yeah, your dad's got vampire genes.
That's why I got vampire genes. Everybody thinks I'm 26. I'm like, thank you. No. All right, and on that note, we out.
Thanks for listening to Shaken Not Stirred, a part of the Overthink Podcast Network. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to the podcast network. And if you're really feeling generous, go ahead and rate and review us on iTunes. That'd help us out in a big way and would help us create more content to share with you as well. So as always, you can check out our website at overthinkpod.com. And also our handle is at overthinkpod pretty much everywhere else. So give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram and like us on Facebook. And that'd help us out too. Spread the word. We're always interested in hearing from listeners. So please drop us a line and let us know what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, maybe even if you want to suggest some topics you'd like to hear featured on the podcast, our email address is overthinkpod@gmail.com. Thanks again for stopping by.